Good morning to all of you. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. Very blessed by the songs that we already sang. I was 517 there. Might read a little bit out of there. There's so many, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And the song just continues on and on with those things. And I really wondered to check my own heart and make sure that I meant that when I sang those words. It was, I was just very encouraged by the songs this morning and everything. So maybe I'll have a word of prayer and then we'll get started here. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here again, Lord. We thank you for being here with us today, Father. And we just now ask that you could be with me as I share these thoughts that you've given me, Lord. And if there's anything that is not, that you don't want me to share, Lord, just please take those off my notes here, Lord. I just want to do your will here. I pray this in your name. Amen. So, for an opening text here, let's begin by reading Matthew 6, 5 through verse 15. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen for men of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not either therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So, this morning, I guess I'd like to share a little bit on forgiveness. Forgiving. We all know a lot. I mean, we all know the Bible says to forgive others. It's the whole way through the Bible, and I'm not going to be telling you anything new. It's been something that God's been doing in my heart, and I wanted to share on that a little bit. And I guess, are we taking it seriously? Are we really taking the words that are said and taking them to heart? Let's look at verse 14 and 15 here. It says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Here we see a command. It's not necessarily just a suggestion. He commands us that if we want to be forgiven for the wrongs that we do, we must forgive others. It doesn't give any loopholes there at all. And doesn't say forgive him if he asks you to forgive him. It just says you have to forgive if you want to be forgiven. In reality, our eternal life hangs on whether or not we forgive others. There's no option there. If we don't forgive others, there's no eternal life, because God will not forgive us. Let's jump on up to verse 12 and read it here. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And rewording that a little bit would say, forgive our sins in the same way we forgive others of theirs. Whatever it takes on the part, as I see it here, it says, whatever it takes on the part of your offender for you to forgive them will be required of you, or will be required on your part for God to forgive you. I'll read it again. Whatever it takes on the part of your offender for you to forgive them will be required on your part for God to forgive you. That's exactly what it says, as we forgive our debtors. Some say they will not forgive till they receive this or that, or, you know, I'll forgive you, but you have to do this to prove that you're sorry or whatever. Forgiveness is not necessarily verbal. It's a feeling it's something that happens inside of you. It's not what you say. Forgiveness is something you do to somebody else. It's not like going to the stores that you don't come up to someone and you did them wrong or something. You don't come up and say you're sorry, and they say, okay, you go do this and that and the other thing, and if once they're happy, then they give you a receipt and now you're forgiven and away you go. It's something that happens in the heart of the person that was wronged, and it has to be, it doesn't have anything to do with words necessarily. If someone has to comply to my wishes before I forgive him, then what I'm really doing is just saying the words and not really forgiving them. So if I'm not really forgiving that person, then God will not really forgive me, and I will find myself guilty of all the sins I ever committed on that last day. It's something that's very serious. And a lot of times you don't really realize that there's unforgiveness in your heart. Or at least that's how I found it in my life. I thought I had forgiven this person for these things, and it wasn't bothering me. It wasn't, I thought they were forgiven. But when I stopped and thought about it, my motives weren't all right. And when I looked deep in my heart, I could see that it wasn't a freeing factor there. When I forgave, it's something that happens in the heart. It, like I said earlier, it doesn't really have anything to do with the words. You know, I forgive you doesn't really make you forgive anybody. Here's a quote: "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." It's easy to see someone that has a lot of unforgiveness in their life because they're obviously not forgiven either, and all their sins are hanging on them, and you can see it. If there's a lot of unforgiveness in somebody's life, you can see it. It's depressing. There's like pressure on their life. They don't want to talk. They're looking down at the ground all the time. There's no joy. It's bondage. And a lot of that is put on ourselves because we don't forgive others. It's chains we put on ourselves. Little children are a perfect example of forgiving. You know, you can have two little children and they can get in a fight, and it only takes about 10 minutes and everything is cleared away, and they never left it have a long-term effect on their life. Matthew 8, 3 and 4, it says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever therefore shall whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot we can learn from watching little children in the way they act. So, and then I have, let's read Matthew 18, 21 through the end of the chapter. We all like to be forgiven, but are we willing to forgive others? Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord, the servant, was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hand on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It's a perfect example of how God will deal with us if we're not willing to forgive others. He gave us, we all know the story, and it was one servant that owed a lot and another servant that owed very little, and God forgave one, gave the servant, all that debt, but he had no pity, would not forgive the other, his fellow servant, and put him in prison. And that's a perfect example of what God has done for us. He went and died on the cross. He forgave us all of these sins. And then somebody does a little something to us and it irks us, and then we'll hold a grudge on them or won't forgive them for those things for the rest of our life sometimes. And it says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And it says, from your hearts, not with words. One thing to remember is you won't fool God. You can look pretty good in it, and maybe I said I'm sorry and whatnot, but it's not man that's going to judge you. It'll be God, and He knows if you forgave from your heart or just with your words. Luke 6:31, and as ye would that men should do unto ye, to you, do ye also to them likewise. Who doesn't want to be forgiven for things that we've done? We all want to be forgiven. And that verse says that we also need to forgive others. Here's another quote. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself. For everyone has need to be forgiven. I guess looking in my own life, what are the thoughts that you have on the people who have wronged you? You know, I say I forgive them, but what are my thoughts on, you know, when they're having some difficulty or something in their lives, am I a little more satisfied that they're having trouble instead of when they're succeeding or everything is going well? You know, does that make me a little bit more happy? Or do I just avoid them? You know, what do I do? It may seem like you've forgiven them, but if you look real deep down in your heart, we just need to look, make sure, because the Bible's pretty plain on what happens if we have any unforgiveness in our lives. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. There's many more verses in the Bible that we could go to. You know, there's the prodigal son. We could go look there. You know, then there's Jesus on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we could go on and on and on all day reading verses that emphasize very strongly the need for forgiveness. But I just want to close with, I have a couple more verses here, and then I'll close. Mark 11, 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. For your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So, I think that's pretty much all I have. Thanks for the opportunity to share. Thanks for listening. It's just something that God has been doing in my heart, and I wanted to share it with all of you. So, thank you.